Here we go again with this twin parable set that we read about once every 3 years. Almost everybody knows it, remembers it. Some of us wonder when it'll be coming round again, and I know that's the case with me as I'm having to get into the pulpit with it from time to time, and maybe this is the 10th time, or who knows. And if these parables are twins, and I tell you that they are twins, they are fraternal twins, not identical twins. It's a set. Why? Why does Jesus tell two parables? And even if I'm preaching it, I always wonder what the preacher's going to make of it. So what shall we make of these two parables this morning? Whether it's a sermon or a homily, the preacher is pretty much free to go anywhere in the world with his proclamation. And Jesus, at this moment in gospel history and in his gospel travels, is somewhere in between. And we're not sure exactly where, because at the end of Luke chapter 9, he set his face toward Jerusalem, leaving Galilee on his way to the cross, and he won't enter Jerusalem until the end of chapter 19. And here this morning, we're in Luke chapter 15, and so let's say he's about halfway there, well beyond Galilee, somewhere in Samaria, or even down into Judea. And as Father Steve pointed out to us last Sunday, wherever he goes in this travel, people are following him. He's gathering a crowd. Why? Well, he attracts riffraff. And that's where we are in Luke's gospel. Jesus attracting tax collectors and sinners, the scum of the earth. And so these high and mighty, pure, clean, odorless, and sinless scribes and Pharisees keep him under constant surveillance, because they know that sooner or later, the man's going to cause trouble for them. In our Gospels, sometimes Jesus is praying to the Father. Sometimes he's teaching his disciples, and other times he's teaching the crowd. And today he's been teaching the crowd, but he's distracted from the crowd and responding to those who are developing suspicions, mistrust, and eventually murderous hatred toward him. And sure enough, there we are in the back of the crowd. And here we are, and it's a sunny, hot, dry day, high clouds in the distant horizon here in the Holy Land. And Jesus travels by foot, and he's coming to a village. And in this village, if you can visualize yourself, you can put yourself there this morning. In this village, the delicious aroma of bread baking is in the air, and it's mixing with the stale BO, the sour body odor of the unwashed crowd around Jesus. And I tell you, and you can check the Bible and verify it, or speak against me, there is no word anywhere in any gospel about Jesus ever taking a bath himself. And so he's one with the crowd. And that's why he's come down to be one with the crowd. And there we are, pompous, arrogant, superior, in our better clothes, standing, washed, pure, sinless, and clean in the back of the crowd, glaring at Jesus with condemnation of Jesus Christ and of the people that he attracts and befriends, these scuzzy people that he has come to save. And he looks back there, and he sees us shaking our heads and muttering with each other. And though he's not in danger yet, he knows that we are not good news. And so he tells these two parables at us. At us, you see. He preached at us then, 2,000 years ago. And he's at us again here this morning, because then is now, and now is then, and we are there on the road with Jesus. Now, if I turn and get out of the pulpit now and stomp away and slam the door, you will wonder, what the H was that all about? Well, it's about your priorities and your opinions of other people. We're getting some hard gospels this summer. I don't understand it. 3 years from now, all this will come around again, and I'm going to take my sabbatical. But this gospel is about your priorities and your opinions of other people. This gospel, as all gospels, is about you. And I would say that it's about agape love, but you see, that would only apply to the lost sheep parable, which he told at first, and it fell flat. It was lost on us. It was lost on us croaking head shakers in the back of the crowd, because after all, we are not lowly shepherds. This doesn't jive with us. We are greedy grabbers. And so he puts it in terms that we can understand. Money. You have 10 coins. You misplace one coin. You stop everything. You drop everything that you're doing, and you search and search until you find it. And when you find it, you rejoice. And they say, oh, yes, of course, now we understand, preacher. Right, what about it? So looking at us in the back of the crowd, he applies this money metaphor to this smelly crowd of sinners and tax collectors, and he says, every time one of these stinking bums is saved, there is rejoicing in heaven. It's not that Jesus is defending the bums and sinners. He's explaining to these croaking head shakers why he's bothering with the riffraff. And he says that is why he's come, to save sinners such as these. Of course, that's not us. And I remember that at our church in Pennsylvania, there was a woman, and I've told this story here before, some of you may remember it, a woman at our church in Pennsylvania who was very prim and proper, who every single Sunday without fail, on her way out of church, would shake her finger at the rector and say angrily, I wish you would quit preaching about sinners. I am not a sinner. I don't know where to tell you you are in this picture with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. I know where I am in it, and it's not good. You may be one of the croaking head shakers with your religious or social or political certitude that people who are not like you are not worth a D. And if that's who you are, and if that's where you are, a non-sinner, then the bad news this morning is that you are on the outs with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, because that's precisely what this gospel is about. Jesus did not come to save you, a non-sinner. Once the light bulb comes on and you realize that God loves and values the riffraff just the same as God loves you, you might stop shaking your head and join the stinking crowd that Jesus came to save. That's what the gospel is about. Jeremiah this morning is bad news again. That's what Jeremiah is all about, bad news for God's people. And to make it worse, the psalm rubs our noses in the dirt. But then you see we read from 1 Timothy, and the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The blessed assurance from 1 Timothy is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's good news for the crowd, but it's not good news for the head shakers. But then Jesus, God love him, looks at us standing there in the back of the crowd and invites us to the party. If only we face up that we also are sinners. I'll give you a chance this morning. This is your invitation. This is your altar call. This is the gospel of the Lord. I proclaim it to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.